Good evening. It's 6 o'clock, and you're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language, and Muniyang in Anishinaabe Mohin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah De A, live in studio on Thursday, March 28th, 2024. I'm joined here by Xander Chung, who will be popping up later on in the show. And let's start with some business, some accounting. CKUT's annual funding drive wrapped up on Sunday, and we met our goal of $50,000. Thank you to everyone who contributed some money towards this annual fundraiser. CKUT needs the extra support. We do get money from student fees and, like, I guess government grants from time to time, but it's a little bit of extra money that makes things work here. It's a volunteer-powered station, and we appreciate your support. Now, the final tally for Upstage's donors so far, we are coming in at around $270. My goal was $200, so it's great to surpass that. I'd like to extend a very big thank you to David and Morale, and to another David, and to Eloi, as well as my mom, Linda, who tunes in religiously every single Thursday. David had some really nice words to say. David and Morale, saying that they look forward to including the programming on this particular show every single Thursday, and they support the rest of the station as well, of course, and that they tune in because they like hearing about the, quote, artists, writers, and producers who talk about their creative process and upcoming shows. It is always insightful listening, and Upstage really adds to the quality of community radio at CKUT. This is so much appreciated. Thank you, David, for the moral and financial support. Of course, all of the donors to Upstage in particular are getting rewarded with gifts, so extra tickets to go see cool things. Thank you so much to Centaur Theatre, to Siegel Centre, Mainline Theatre, Montreal Improv in Saint-Henri, and Black Theatre Workshop for helping us sweeten the deals for our donors and to help us make this funding drive really count. Of course, thank you to Madeline, our funding drive coordinator, who did such a great job keeping track of where all the money went and motivating us. She is the funding and outreach coordinator. And of course, to Jack, who is our spoken word coordinator here at CKUT. We're under the purview of Jack here at the show. If I haven't reached out to you yet, if you've made a donation, I will very shortly. Of course, you can still contribute. The funding drive is over, but technically we're still accepting donations. I love this station so much. I actually donate $10 a month every single year. I contribute $120 because every single year because I believe in this station. All right, that's enough of the money stuff. We're going to get down to another side of business, which is looking at our guests for this evening. We're going to touch base with dramaturg Jesse Stong, a very big supporter of budding playwrights in this city with their work over at Playwrights Workshop. Their annual reading series for queer writers will be back at Centaur with a really solid programming list for next weekend. We'll find out more about that off the top of the show. We will also then meet Alexandra Spicy Lande, who has directed some very well-respected hip-hop dance pieces, but she's striking out on her own in a performance coming to La Chapelle Saint Contemporain next week. We will meet Alexandra Spicy Lande in a couple of moments. Xavier Huard, who is co-founder of Production Menuen Takuan. It is a theater company partnering with Théâtre aux Écuries this year, and they are putting on an event called Les Autochtoneries d'aux Écuries. It starts later in April, and it's going to be a whole mishmash of talks and performances and other kinds of cool events, including regular tea sessions over at the theater. We'll talk about this spotlight at the midway mark. Before the end of the hour, I will introduce you to Heidi Strauss, a choreographer performing for the very first time here in Montreal with her piece Between Me and You. Xander is going to get to know Heidi and find out about this very personal piece, which is inspired by her mother's journey with dementia. It combines dance and theater, and she is an invitee of the Agora Danse. That show comes later next month to Agora Danse. All that and more on Upstage. Stay tuned.
Cause every romance shakes and it bends, don't give a damn. When the night's here, I don't do tears, baby, no chance. I could dance, I could dance, I could dance. Watch me dance.
watch me dance, dance the night away. My heart could be burning, but you won't see it on my face. Watch me dance, dance the night away. I'll still keep the party running. I won't be out of place. When my heart breaks, when my world shakes, I don't play safe. Don't you know about me? I could dance.
Even when the tears are flowing, they're diamonds on my face.
Some Dua Lipa for you as we gear up for a long weekend here in Montreal. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM, the show about theater on the radio. We now will take you to Centaur Theater. Next weekend, they are getting ready to once again host the Queer Reading Series. This is an interesting event that happens. It spotlights young writers who are under the queer banner, queer spectrum. They are learning to find their footing in the artistic world, and they get a lot of guidance from our guest. Jessie Stong is a dramaturg and the curator of the Queer Reading Series, affiliated with Playwrights Workshop, and they join us on the line. Good evening.
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
Jessie, you're always such a champion of young writers. Can you tell me why an event, like participating in an event either as a performer, as a writer, what that means for a young person's career?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know, this is our fifth year doing it, and all of the plays that have come through this festival have had, like, a second life, a production, or, like, interest from producers. And so I think it's just a great chance, like it's called, you know, a showcase to just show two of the best queer emerging artists. And I think it's also just a really great community event. A lot of queer people come out. We usually have a pretty full house, and it's just wonderful to have Centaur Theater for one night just full of rainbow energy and wild people and just this community vibe where we all support these works in process.
It's people coming together, but it also presents a networking opportunity as well, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, it's like we also on the Saturday at 5 o'clock, we do a community panel discussion. So this year before the show, we're talking about why transgender stories matter. So we're hoping more of the T of LGBT comes out, and we're going to have a great conversation. A chance just to see how many of us there are in the community doing theater, interested in theater. Lots of people for sure build friendships, relationships, partners through this program.
So that is the panel, Queer Leadership Panel, on Saturday at 5 o'clock, Why We Need Transgender Stories. You know, you're going to be moderating this discussion, Jessie. In very briefly, for you, why is it important to have transgender stories represented?
Well, I mean, I think it's been a big year for transgender people, for sure. There's a lot more talking about, you know, non-binary identities and trans non-binary. Both of the playwrights this year identify as trans non-binary. And so I thought it'd be a great topic to bring in different vantage points. And I think it's just been, it's a big conversation. And so now more than ever, I think those stories matter being told by us for us. And it's just an intersection of queerness that I think is very interesting. And there's a lot going on. I'm hoping not only the panelists will have a lot to share because they're all really leaders in the community and really interesting artists, but also people from the community are going to be welcome to come and talk as well. And I think it'll just be a great discussion, artistic exchange.
And those panelists include King Rose, Murdoch Sean, and Mayel Sheff. Murdoch being very well known in the Montreal theater scene for behind-the-scenes work. I'm speaking with Jessie Stong, a Playwrights Workshop, the curator of the Queer Reading Series. I'm glad you mentioned the fact that it is the fifth year because I was kind of like, where has the time gone? How does that feel to be kind of, it's not like a big banner anniversary, but it is kind of a big number.
Yeah, I think it's kind of amazing. Like, the time has gone really fast. Like, I had to be like, wait, five, really? And, you know, there was pandemic years, so yeah. That was a bit complicated. But I don't know, like, I've been at Playwrights for 10 years now, and the Young Creators Unit, which I started, is 9 years old now. And all the artists that have done Queer Reading Series came out of Young Creators. So I feel like I'm starting to feel a bit like a senior citizen in the community somehow. You know, and I just think it's, sometimes when at the beginning of every festival, I'll say, like, how many people in the house have done the Young Creators Unit, you know? And we've had over 150 emerging artists in that program over the years. And so it's just interesting how that the clap and applause gets louder every year. And I'm really proud of all the work that keeps coming out of it, and that it's known for being a queer-friendly place at Playwrights. And so I don't know. I'm really proud of the work. I really love this festival. I think it's fun seeing work that's unfinished and that people still have a desire for that. So I'm just glad it's still rolling, and I'm really grateful that Centaur is still interested and still sees it as fun as I do, you know?
Let's talk about the two plays. There will be performers putting on stuff, and good performers as well. The first show is going to be The Mentorship. This is by Tyson Fraley.
Fraley,
thank you. Tell me about this one. There's some heavy stuff in this particular play.
Yeah, both the plays are very different. This one is kind of like a macabre contemporary story that gets really dark. But it's done in a way with a nod to horror films and like that classical thing. And so it's not just trauma for the sake of trauma. It's a really smart play by Tyson about a queer filmmaker gets invited to meet a Hollywood executive woman who's been in the business for many years. And it's just sort of, I don't want to give too much away, but it's an interview evening that transcends into a very dark place. And it's just kind of talking about how far we're willing to go for success and talk about feminism and what it really means and power. And it's just a really interesting dark play. And I'm actually directing that one because when I first heard it last year, I was like, okay, I want to play with this one. And
now,
so it's going to be a really good one.
The title is The Mentorship. I think we can qualify you as a mentor for your work with the Younger Creators
Unit.
Yeah,
I hope I'm not that one.
When you found out Tyson's theme, were you a little like, oh, where does this go? What do you want to say about mentors?
Yeah, I think Tyson is also just the sweetest person, so you wouldn't see it coming. And Tyson definitely, along the road, they were having a lot of like, should I say this? And I'm very much like, go further, don't do it at all. So there's a lot of pushing, but I love plays that scare people. I love plays that go to scary places. And I think, you know, with the Me Too movement and talking about queerness in that intersection of feminism, I think it's just so important to push that boundary. And I think horror and macabre is a great area to go because it's a little absurd. It's a little less realism. So I'm really proud of that work. And I mean, I'm not scared at all. I think people will enjoy it a lot.
So that will be Friday at 7:30, April the 5th, The Mentorship.
Yeah.
You mentioned the two shows are very different. The next one is It Sticks to the River. That's the following evening. It's billed as a story about burnout, unmasking, and sandwiches.
Yeah, and it's more of Corbeau is an amazing, poetic, very interesting writer. And it's very much a hard play to explain. It's like lovely, and the performers have worked on it for several iterations now, so it's very much far along in terms of the acting, and it's metaphorical and poetic. I don't want to give too much away either, but really it's about a person who's going through a burnout experience, and they get transported to a fantastical place to refresh, replenish, and have an existential crisis kind of thing. So it's very poetic, it's very strange, it's very I don't know how to describe it exactly, so I'm not doing a great job, but it's just something you got to see. And Corbeau's mind is just like nothing else, and every time you think it's going to zig its zags.
So that is by Corbeau Sandoval. It Sticks to the River, directed by Joshua Bilbao. And Corbeau is openly neurodivergent, so somebody who's processes things differently. Everyone's kind of in a different situation when it comes to that. But this particular performance is designed to be neurodivergent friendly, so people can be comfortable and at ease when they come to the show.
Yeah, and we also have captions for both shows this year. Thankfully, we got a bit of extra funding for that, which is wonderful. We've been really trying to promote it as an accessible space. Because it's a staged reading, you know, we have lights, we have sound, we have production elements, but you know, people can come and go if they have to. We want it to be a space where people feel comfortable. And yeah, especially because this year and last year we had a neurodivergent playwright as well. So we're trying to make it a space where people are less precious about, you know, asking for what they need. And this play really lends itself to being a communal experience where people can come as they are. So yeah, I think it's really good that we've added some accessibility features this year.
Jesse, I respect the work that you do with young budding playwrights, so keep it up. And thank you so much for making time for Upstage tonight.
Yes, thank you. I hope to see you around soon.
That is Jesse Stong of Playwrights Workshop, curator of the Queer Reading Series, which comes to Centaur Theater starting next week. The first reading will be on the Friday night, April the 5th. There will be a panel that Jesse is moderating as well. That is going to be on the... I'm just going to pull that up. That is on the Saturday at 5 o'clock, and that will be followed by the other reading, It Sticks to the River by Corbo Sandoval, the last piece we were just talking about at 7:30. Do reserve your tickets at centaurtheater.com. Really nice weekend. This has always got a lot of really... nice to see kind of burgeoning writers emerging in a space. The tickets, of course, are also free as well. So centaurtheater.com and playwrights.ca if you want to learn more about Playwrights Workshop as well as the programming. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah Day. We are live this hour looking at theater in this city, and we also have a good dose of dance this hour. We're going to meet Alexandra Spicy Lande in just a couple of minutes, and before the end of the hour, Xander is going to chat with Heidi Strauss of Toronto, getting ready for her first performance ever in Montreal. That will sandwich a conversation with Xavier Huard of Production Menin Tuataquan. They are performing, or putting on rather, the Octonerie, which is a very interesting title. We're going to find out more about where that name came from in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Um pouco de amor numa cadência, vai ver que ninguém no mundo vence a beleza que tem o samba, não. Porque o samba nasceu lá na Bahia. Se hoje ele é branco na poesia, se hoje ele é branco na poesia, ele é negro demais no coração. Melhor ser alegre que ser triste. Alegria é a melhor coisa que existe. É assim como a luz no coração. Põe um pouco de amor numa cadência, vai ver que ninguém no mundo vence a beleza que tem um samba, não.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're enjoying some Bebel Gilberto there, but I'm going to change the pace just a little bit music-wise, just to play under as I introduce our next guest. We have a choreographer who's come up in recent years and is really, really known for making waves in the hip-hop community. Here's a little bit of the teaser for this upcoming performance by Alexandra Spicy Lande. Her new show is called Monad. Alexandra has become well-known as a teacher and as a curator, as well as a choreographer and performer. So she's done a lot of larger-scale choreographies where she's got different performers in space. Now, next month, she will be performing solo at La Chapelle Scène Contemporaine. It's a show called Monad, and it's going to explore the links between hip-hop and dance. To learn more about what motivates Alexandra and what it's like to be performing solo on stage, we have Alexandra Spicy Lande on the line.
Oh,
good evening, Alexandra.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is it like to be, quote, recognized as a pioneer and an artist in the hip-hop field in Quebec?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, I understand, like, with accumulation of work and being present in the community, you do, you know, it's a long time of different artistic, you know, ventures and just being present. And evolving as an artist and also as a choreographer. But it feels very much like this is who I am and this is what I do, right? So even 20 years later, 25 years, 30 years down the road, it still feels like this is something that speaks to me. It's a culture and a music and a whole culture and a dance that speaks to me. And it transforms through the years. Like my interests, you know, change and they expand, but it remains in a very in this rich culture. So it evolves from that culture. So it feels strange because, you know, years ago I always talk about this, that I wouldn't even have imagined, you know, doing this as a career, but like, here we are now, 20 years later. and sometimes, I mean, with time, having a company, you know, having a company is also an organization, is also a lot of work, right? It's not just your artistic, there's administration and all kinds of other tasks and work that comes with it. So it becomes a bit more complex. It's less fun, let's say. But it remains, you know, very, you know, for me, deep and meaningful. And it's still very inspiring, you know, to take part of that culture.
We're speaking with dancer and choreographer Alexandra Spicy-Landais, who is getting ready to perform Monad as part of Danse Cité at La Chapelle next weekend. Was it hard for hip hop to kind of get more, not accepted, but recognized by the establishment? You've won awards. Your work has been performed overseas. You're invited to teach overseas. But as a dance form, this comes from the street. It's a popular dance form. Are we doing enough to recognize it? And has this been a struggle for you?
It's definitely in the years to come, you know, I mean, the first years, let's say 15 years ago was a lot harder to get recognition, to, you know, participate in the larger scale of, you know, the larger community of dance, and to be recognized as a form and also as an artist. But there's been a lot of, you know, work and a lot of conversations around inclusion and also understanding what street dance, how does it, you know, embrace stage. Also, there was a lot of unknown because street dance is very, you know, born out of sometimes the street, depending on the styles, you know, sometimes from the club, sometimes from warehouses. So depending on the style of street dance that you do, the birth, you know, of that style is not definitely not in conventional stages, but we're not unfamiliar with it. There's a lot of hip hop and street dance happening on stage. It was just a bit of like, for us as a community who are now taking space on stage, it's more imagining how it remains authentic for us to be on stage.
Go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, like, how to bring that raw, those raw elements, raw culture, this raw culture of dance and music on stage, and how to stay really true to its form. And it's not always easy. That's the work for me, you know? That's what I can say. I don't know if I'm answering the question.
Oh, no. It was great. Alexandra, your show is called Monad. It's, I didn't know this. It's pulled from an ancient Greek word meaning unit. And in this case, you're referring to a single cell in the universe. You have choreographed shows with 5 dancers, 8 dancers. Here you're on stage by yourself. Can we tell me about what it means to be doing this as a solo work and what your inspiration was from this, like, concept of monad, a singular cell?
Well, you know, today, every other day I wake up going like, that was a terrible idea. Why would you do that to yourself? You know, because I am a choreographer and I've worked, I mean, I'm a dancer as well. Like, I mean, I still freestyle a lot and improv a lot in hip hop and in other styles. But I'm primarily, if I think about the work that I do, is mostly working with groups and working with bodies, other bodies, having visions and, you know, imagining worlds, you know, and trying to imagine how do I bring, these ideas to fruition using different bodies. Now it's all about me getting on stage. First of all, it's like connecting back with this internal fire, you know, that I've been propelled, like I've been, I don't know how to say it, but like expressing it outwards. And I'm now going inward and trying to see like what's there, what's left after all these years. Also, you know, just age factor, you know, there's a lot of things that are like kind of interesting to work with. It's such a different place to be. You know, I'm not 20 years old. Like I used to be, like my body's not where it was years ago.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to work with these, I don't want to say limitations, it's just different. It's a different place. And also just my envies for group work, all the choreography that I do, and what I'm doing on stage as a soloist is completely opposite. I don't want to say opposite, because of course a lot of things meet in the middle. Like there's a lot of like cohesion, but there's also, it's very different at the same time. It's a very different approach. It was very challenging for me to, you know, be the one creating and also kick my butt to get on stage and do the thing I'm thinking, as opposed to having dancers that, you know, are amazing and able to embody my vision. So that's been a big challenge. So having the right people around the table and around me and in studio was really, really important.
It's also interesting to note that you have a really extensive team for what is a solo production. You have someone on sound design, you have lighting, costumes from the great Nello Soini Bruce, you have a consultant and a coach, Helen Samard, lending you dramaturgical support, as well as some what they call officially, so whimsical a title, but outside eyes, in addition to everyone else. Do you feel supported?
I really do. I'm really lucky, but also, the thing that I keep, that's a secret that not everybody, all the listeners are going to find out today, is that it is a solo, but it's kind of a duo. Because my composer is on stage, Janet Ty Lotus, who's an incredible artist, incredible composer, music producer, and he is with me on stage as well. So I never feel alone. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I'm all alone expressing. Like, I feel like not only does my team, even if they're not on stage with me, I really feel the support and the love and the encouragement. And also, I know that a lot of the community of street dancers will be there, of contemporary dancers, that, you know, I have a lot of people that I connect with, I think will bring a good energy for me to get on stage and courage. But yeah, I feel really well surrounded and supported for this work. And it's really like an expression of me, where I'm at today, you know?
It feels like a really well-deserved, almost different chapter of your career, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah, it's a different chapter, and I just feel like it's a moment of me just being a bit selfish, maybe, like for once, you know? And I'm really that's the thing that I think I need to get to that place, you know, before the show, that this is a time for you, you know, to embody the stage and do the thing that where you're at today.
Alexandra, it's been really great to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on Upstage, and I hope you have a blast next week.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, have a good rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
That is Alexandra Spicy Lande, who is an artistic director, choreographer, and performer. You can catch her solo piece, which is not so solo, but check it out for yourself. April 4th to the 13th at La Chapelle Saint Contemporaine. It is part of Danse Cité. So you can get your tickets at danse-cité.org and also visit lachapelle.org for more information and 514-843-7738. Alexandra Spicy Lande, you can also follow her on Instagram. I've tagged her at UpstageCKUT, our Instagram page. And you can also visit her company, which is called Ebb and Flow. You can go to ebnfloh.com. You are listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at ckut.ca. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Still to come, Xander is going to meet Heidi Strauss, a Toronto dancer who's performing a very personal work at the Agora next week. But up next, Xavier Huard, who is going to be putting on Les Autochtoneries at Théâtre aux Écuries, putting the spotlight on Indigenous artists and theater.
Freedom fighters, lovers for life that knows no bounds. We need a man to do no saving. Living the emotion leads to higher ground. I wanna dance like Michael and sing like Whitney and fuck like Marilyn Monroe. I wanna smoke like Molly but love like Lucy and dress like Jackie.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Some music there from Rev. That's Rev with an E, circonflex on the first E. She is going to be performing at the Fairmount Theater this evening. Local girl, doing really well, touring and putting on really fun music like that song, that cover of Whitney. We are still going to be speaking with Heidi Strauss later in the hour, but for now we're going to go over to Théâtre aux Écuries, which is spotlighting, it's been working with a company called Production Menen Takuan over the past season, and they're coming up with an absolute blockbuster festival of sorts starting on Thursday, April 11th and running until the 21st. It is a mixture of different programming, including discussions, lectures, and performances, all spotlighting Indigenous work. The event is called Les Autochtoneries aux Écuries, and joining us on the line is Xavier Huard, who is co-founder of the production company Menen Takuan. Welcome to Upstage.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bienvenue. Thank you for being here. I wanted to start with the title of the event, Les Autochtoneries, which to an ear, it sounds like a mix-up between autochtone and cochonnerie. Am I on the right track there?
Not really, no? Cochonnerie. No, it's more like a new word we create, yes, for the festival. So it's more like it could be a taquinerie, yes, cochonnerie, but it's more like... When we add a ri at the end of the word, it's just a way to create a new word. So it's not related to another word. We are doing something that is native, and we recreate, we take possession of this word, autochtone, and we decide that this word we're going to re-lecture it and give another idea of what it could be to be native. So we create this autochtonerie, and it's kind of funny to do this because it's just something new, and it's something that you must tell yourself that it's going to be funny when you heard autochtonerie. It's not, it's going to be something that reveal the humor of the all these Native nations, because it's something that's very important in their cultures.
Yeah, because people might get the impression, if we're talking about Indigenous theater, it's something serious with a capital S. But your company has very tongue-in-cheek. It has a very droll sense of humor.
Yeah, and even when we are in sometimes in teams that ask us to be very taking care of what we are speaking about, they will also have humor in it. And this is very something about resilience, I guess, to keep this this way of making fun of everything, even when it's it can be hard to do. And one of our artists who is doing it very impressively is Omer Saint-Onge. He is a survivor of residential school, and this show is the show of his life, and it's very a show that tours in everywhere in Quebec and a lot of place in Montreal, also in the Maison de la Culture. And when you see this artist on the stage, the way he tells the story is very something that grabs you by the inside of you. But also, his humor is so unique, and it's come from being Innu, and is from the community of Maliotenam near Steven Island in the North Shore.
So that is Omer Saint-Onge's performance. It'll be on Saturday, April the 20th, and there's two showings of that in the afternoon and in the evening. The next day, a show called Mon Oncle Jules. People might have seen this performer doing some puppetry work at the Fringe Festival. He's very celebrated as a marionette artist. Jocelyn Siwi. This is a family story that he's telling.
Yes, Mon Oncle Jules, it's going to be the 100 representation of this show, so it tours a lot. This show is very something special, because he's talking about his story, about his family, but he's doing it in a way with puppetry that he recreate the world, and you dive in it with him. And it's a show that is people want to see that show. It's same thing with Machinigan from Marco Collin. It's the show that opening the festival. We did this show in Jonquière, but it's going to be our first time here in Montreal. We're going to do this show, and it's native plays from the writer and the director, Marco Collin. And it's also a story about inspired by people in his community and his family. So these artists are very connected to the work they are creating and presenting in this festival.
Marco is one of the co-founders of your company. It's you, Marco Collin, as well as Charles Bender, who was on the show a couple of weeks back, talking about another event at Théâtre Zikiri. How did the three of you come together, and how do you see yourself in this this trio of this team?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because I must say, and it tells a lot about the festival also, that Production Manantagouan, when we co-found this company, it has to be an Indigenous company, because the majority of artists in the collective at that time and also right now, is the majority is Native artists. But also there were artists like me that are non-Indigenous. So when we co-found this company, we decided that it has to be an Indigenous company, but in our mandate, in our vision, it's Indigenous theater that include non-Indigenous artists in the process. So on the set, the artists are Indigenous and non-Indigenous. The designer team, it's the same thing. The artistic directing, it's Indigenous and non-Indigenous. It's always going to be plays written by Indigenous and with a majority of Indigenous artists, but it's the idea of doing creating theater together. And that's the idea of the festival, using the theater to create a place where we could be together and really have a space to question ourselves and to see and to go into some subject that sometimes in the media we can read about some subject, and it's might going to be about conflict or sometimes tragedy. And it's not always the right way to really create something significant. So our idea is to create this festival in the same way we create the company, to be a place with indigenous and non-indigenous, and also in the public. So if you're non-indigenous, you have a place here, because if you don't, we passed right through the idea of this process.
Yeah, it's kind of like this idea of reconciliation involves everybody being active in the process and not just indigenous people on their own. It's not just, we're not sealed off from each other. I actually learned a word in preparing for our interview tonight, which is Alochtone, and that's how you would identify yourself. What does it mean to be Alochtone?
It means non-indigenous. So it's just something that, so me as a Quebecer, I'm non-indigenous, but it also can be true of anybody is coming here in Montreal. It could be from 1 week or 11 generations, doesn't differ. So it's the idea to Alochtone. It's the a word created in the same time than autochtone. It's kind of the reverse thing.
Xavier Huard is co-founder of Les Productions Menantakwan, a theater company putting on Les Autochtoneries April 11th to the 21st. The nice thing, in addition to all the programming that you're doing, because there's shows and panels and discussions, there's also going to be tea involved. I want to ask you about Jacques Nawashish, who's going to be creating a space in the cafe at the theater.
Yeah, he's going to do a performance of he's going to create some things completely unique for the festival. We are very happy to have all these artists. When you see the lineup of the artists that are coming there, we are very proud of this, and Jacques Nawashish is part of one of them. And also, we serve tea. We're going to save Labrador tea, because it's our traditional ways to get together and to share together. So it's in the community. It's a word we use when you take time to speak to each other. We say Menantagwan. It's the name of the company. And the youngers, they use it to say, like, it's nice, it's fun, we're having fun right now. They will say Menantagwan. It can differ of different place. Could be Melwiltagwan instead of Menantagwan, but it's the same idea. So that's why we are serving tea during the festival.
The last thing I want to ask you, Xavier, what does this mean to you and your teammates, Marco and Charles, to have a space to put on this much programming?
It's something that it's very something important for us, because there is a lot of shows that we did everywhere, and we have a lot of success, but it's because there were a public in Montreal that give us this chance. And now we came back and bring them back this, and we are doing it with the most, la façon la plus impressionnante. We want to impress them, because it's because of them we are here, we are right now. So that's why it's so important to us. It's a very good place also to meet the artists, to speak with the artists after the show, after the discussion. These artists are hard to get. They are everywhere in the world. They are in other countries for their creation, and they are going to be there on these 2 weeks to speak about their work. It's very a privileged place to meet them.
Xavier, I feel privileged having met you. Thank you for coming on the show this evening and telling us about Les Autochtoneries.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
That is Xavier Huard, co-founder of Les Productions Menantagwan. They are going to be teaming up with Théâtre aux Écuries to put on programming from April 11th until the 21st. You heard some of the shows we talked about there. Mon Oncle Jules, Manishkan, which is going to be performed by one of the founders, Marco Collin. For tickets and more information, visit auxecuries.com, AUXECURIES. I'm really excited for this event. It's interesting that it's a mix not just of performers, but also tea time and discussions. And as Xavier said, you can meet the artists if you so want. It's a very intimate space, Théâtre aux Écuries. So that is the 11th to the 21st of April. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT. Our final conversation of the evening is ahead. Xander is going to meet Heidi Strauss, a choreographer performing for the very first time in Montreal.
28th at La Sala Rosa, Orquesta Criminal launched a brand new album of criminal tunes sung in Yiddish, Bosnian, Greek, Arabic, Polish, Hindi, Spanish, Norwegian, and mixed Dengo. Orquesta Criminal is a gender-balanced 10-piece of improv performers busting out adventurous gangster songs from a dangerous and forgotten era. Thursday, March 28th, Orquesta Criminal's album launch at La Sala Rosa with special guests La Delegación. Tickets $20 in advance at casadelpopolo.com. Doors at 7. A co-presentation of Sueni Better Popolo and CKET.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm going to thank our donors again before the end of the show. But first, we are going to meet Heidi Strauss, who is about to perform in Montreal with a very personal dance piece. And Xander Chung joins me in studio. Hey, Xander, I missed you last week.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm great, thank you. I'm so excited to hear your conversation with Heidi.
Me too. I've looked over this piece, and honestly, the trailer looks fantastic. So I'm going to start us off with just, what do we often, when we often say the words live in the moment, what does that mean? Is it to be aware of your body? Is it living in the moment in an act of experiencing sidewalk road rage? Is it take, or is it just taking in those fleeting moments as you walk down a hospital hallway, every room, a case, a story, a need for care? You and me, a performance piece by Heidi Strauss, makes its Montreal debut at the Agora de la Danse from April 10th to the 12th. We're asked to share a space with her, a fragile space, a liminal space, where we are invited to experience a moment of human fragility and a story between a daughter and a mother in the shadow of dementia. Heidi, welcome to Upstage.
Hello.
Making sure we're coming through okay. Everything sounds great on your end?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an echo, but
okay, we'll see what we can do about that. How about now?
It's still there, but I'm just hearing myself back, so I can try okay. to focus against that a little bit.
Well, we'll make the best of it. So you performed this in Toronto. How do you feel about inviting this entirely new city to take part in your story?
I'm excited about it. Also because it feels to me less so personal a story as a story that opens the space for people to reflect about their own experiences that don't necessarily have to do with dementia, but with witnessing circumstances in their own lives or people who are going through things in their own lives and giving a space for reflection, really.
So you're kind of inviting the audience in a way to participate through channeling empathy, in, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, and it's not only just you that's on stage. There's a degree of multimedia work, which I personally find somewhat fascinating, specifically because every artist's relationship with multimedia digital work, pictures, projections, sounds, are always just a little different. And I wonder, what is your relationship with the use of digital media in a performance setting? How does it add to the story and, as you've mentioned, you know, this reaching out to the audience?
I mean, I think it's particular to whatever work that is being presented or the context of that work. In this case, I was using it initially in the research as a way to consider access because it was connecting with language and the idea of spoken word or speaking and allowing many ways into understanding what's being said. And then it graduated into sort of other ways of considering memory. And also we're using a little bit of AI inside of it. So that works with the sort of unpredictability of what you will sometimes find in a kind of AI translation. And sometimes the ridiculousness of it and sometimes the gravity of it or sometimes the clarity of it and there being a sense of like fragmentation that echoes the idea of a fragmented memory or of things not being in a kind of linear path.
So you're using, so if I might make, try to understand, this is, you're using forms of AI as well within the performance?
There's some AI, like use of AI in translation.
In translation.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So what exactly are you translating on the stage?
There's some text involved inside the work that talks about the memory of objects in relation to the people who those objects belong to. And then there's some participatory or more maybe interactive is a better word, sections in which I converse with the audience.
Okay, so that's actually rather fascinating. So what kind of interactions could the audience expect while participating in your show?
I don't want to go too far into it just because it feels like a particular surprise inside of the work. But the interactions are voluntary. The thing that's interesting to me about what happens with ideas of memory loss is that areas in one's connection or interaction with someone who's going through that sort of open up and allow for there to be a freedom of, I guess, like the back and forth that exists in a conversation that enables or sort of allows for the space of what is uncertain in that conversation because of what is known or unknown. And that idea of, so I'm working against this little echo right now, that idea of there being a lack of exactitude or direction or clarity allows for there to be questions to be asked and allows there to be a kind of human exchange that can follow a conversation like that. So the interaction is largely about opening up the relationship between the audience and the performer inside of it.
So it is kind of like this really interesting, engaging conversation between yourself and the people kind of witnessing, participating, and actively creating a memory with you in a lot of ways. Like,
exactly, actually.
Yeah.
They kind of determine an important aspect of the piece that is different each time based on the decisions that they make and what they ask of me.
I think that's particularly inspiring. A lot of shows, you know, kind of invite the audience to just kind of passively sit back and, you know, in a way, just allow the show to wash over them. And sometimes they take something with them and others not, but to actually actively invite them to either engage with these objects, you know, physical objects have a power, right, to be able to feel something tactile from your childhood or whatever. Even if you can't remember the specific memory relating to it, I'd imagine that just having that kind of semiotic experience would be fairly impactful and almost a way to translate past, you know, this theme of memory.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in materials that offers that kind of possibility. But I also think this aspect of sharing a space and being in a room together and including people who are in the audience in the room, because I mean it's obviously a contract between any kind of performance that the audience has an impact on what happens, but sometimes as an audience member sitting in the dark, you don't realize the impact that you have. And I say you, but I mean me when I'm in the audience too. But really feeling like you're important in the experience for the performer, and because of that, perhaps you can see yourself or an aspect of what your experience has been and what you're witnessing in the room with. I think that's one of the curiosities I have, is this co-presence of sharing space, of coexisting in the world together and in this microcosm of a world inside of the theater. That was one of the sort of aspects that I was particularly curious about.
Honestly, a lot of that personally speaks to me. Heidi, it was absolutely wonderful to just share this moment with you on the air and
to
talk to you about your show. I'm honestly fascinated by such an intimate and experiential piece of theater. For those who would like to join us in the audience, Between You and Me will be mounted at the Agora de la Danse Theater between April 10th to the 12th. For information, feel free to call 514-525-1500 or visit billetterie at agoradance.com.
Thank you so much, Xander. That was a fascinating chat with Heidi, and I'm looking forward to maybe checking out the show. You've been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you for taking the time out of your Thursday to join us. A big thank you to our guests as well, which includes Heidi Strauss, as well as Xavier Huard over at Les Octogonneries, Alexandra Spicy-Lande, who will be performing at La Chapelle next week, and Jesse Stong of Playwrights Workshop, putting on Queer Reading series at Centaur next week. Big thank you to all of our donors. You helped us achieve our goals. CKUT made the $50,000 we were looking for. Everything wrapped up on Sunday, but still, you can still donate. CKUT.ca/donate. Thank you to David and Morale. Thank you to David, another David, Elwa, as well as my mom, Linda. You can still contribute. I still might have something left over for you. Thank you to all the theater companies who donated those prizes. If you donate now, I might be able to squeeze you in. Up next is Grey Matters. We'll be back next Thursday with more stories about theater in Montreal. Take care.
Running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates, family, and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling Collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us Collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Good evening and welcome to the March 28th edition of Grey